Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
The contracts works in different ways. There are different type of amounts. So there are some entities that will say, for example, let's say the convention center, LA Convention Center, they're going to host a big event and they need a caterer that provides food for the workers that are there, not for the convention that they're having, but for the workers. They may say, this is just a $4,000 thing. I can just look at the minority-owned business or women-owned business, and I can tell them, because they are registering to my website, I can tell them, hey, I have this opportunity. Do you want it? It will be something for this event, and that's it, and I have a $4,000 budget. Boom. That's yours, and you are there. Okay, and there will be also like contractors. So you have a big contractor who got this, and then the LA Convention Center will tell the contractor, hey, I am going to hire you, but you have to hire three more subcontractors that are minority, women-owned, and veteran-owned. And each one of them, you should give them at least a $10,000 contract. So the subcontractor that is the big one will find that small subcontractors and will hire them to do this job with them. So there are a lot of like an octopus, there are a lot of tentacles here and there that you can go about government contracting. But your first step, contact the SBDC, then you get certified. And then we start signing up in all these platforms so you can start getting like matches so you can apply. Application process is a little bit, it's a lot of paperwork, let's say it that way. You need to be very organized. You need to have your finances in place. You need to have your insurances in place. And you need to have staff. Why? Because when you get all these contracts, they are going to ask you, are you going to be able to perform? Because I'm going to give you a 3-year contract, for example, or a 2-year. We have the World Cup coming in 2026. So in 2026, I need you to come here every day from 6 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the evening and keep all the restrooms clean and keep all these things clean. For example, if I have a cleaning company, so I need to be able to really guarantee that during those 2-3 weeks that we're going to have people coming in and out, I am going to be able to have that. They also are going to tell me if I have insurance. A lot of our small businesses don't have insurance. They think it's not important to have that. And it is very, very important. Liability insurance, workers' comp. Those are some minimal insurance that all these companies are going to ask you. Why? Because they also want to like save their
protect themselves. Protect themselves.
So exactly, because you have to protect yourself and you have to protect others. And if you don't do that, they're not going to hire you. They want to know that it doesn't matter if you're a micro business, you're really well managed and you can really perform. What I tell my clients, Maria, all the time is you have to put yourself also in the client's shoes. If I put my hat, my client's shoes or my client hat, I can understand why they're telling me this. I don't want to hire somebody who's not insured, who's going to sue me later on or where I'm going to get in trouble, that doesn't have experience. I also want for my business people with experience, people like her. So that's why you need to think about that too. Like, why is the government telling me this? Why is the convention center or the city hall telling me I have to do this? Because they don't want to be liable for those things either. And you also want to be protected. So it's just a good business standard for everybody, just to say that. So that's kind of like the long explanation on the importance on why do we need to think a little bit more into the future and government contracting. So if you're a small business that is just starting, doesn't matter if you don't have those 2 years in business, just make sure that as soon as you hit the 2 years mark, you want to start doing all this for the other opportunities that are coming, because the Olympics are coming on the 28th. So you want to be ready for 2028 if you cannot be ready for 2026.
Wow, that is so helpful. Thank you so much. And I love how you simplified such a complex topic because it's extremely complex. And yesterday I was at the Sports and Entertainment Summit, the Supplier Diversity Summit, and it was they had so many speakers. They had Jessica Alba there. They had, a lot of government officials there. And Karen Bass was there as well. And it was a lot of information that I was just sitting there, and I literally walked away still unclear as to what steps I'm supposed to take. And my initial thought was, oh, I'm gonna have a meeting with Claudia and I'm gonna interview her and I'm gonna ask her, what steps should I take? What do I do? Because I am registered on RAMP, but is that enough? Or, is there more certifications that I need to get? And those are the things that I believe that having that one-on-one with the SBDC centers, like, with your center will help, because then you can evaluate all my certifications. You can say, well, this is maybe what you're missing, or this is what you could do, or whatever. So I definitely highly recommend. I actually got my first contract because of SBDC, not only because they helped me with a lot of the processes, but also they shared government opportunities with me. I gave them the keywords and I said, these are the NAICS codes that I am certified for. Can you see if there are any opportunities? And they were the ones that sent me the Job Corps RFP, and then I tried it and I succeeded and I got the contract.
Awesome, awesome.
So, and that's the thing. One of the reasons why I was so excited to bring you on the show is because, I talk about how much SBDC has helped me over the years. And sadly, people sometimes don't understand how easy it is to work with you guys and how you are so knowledgeable and you give us so many shortcuts and save us so much time. So in terms of working with you, I know you mentioned that it is free, but can you briefly go over, what can people expect? How often can they talk to you? And can they have several advisors at the same time, one helping with finance and another one helping with marketing and so on? If you can just talk a little bit about that, that would be great.
That's a great question. So the way I want everybody to understand this is we are not a your like the staff. Like sometimes they think, okay, you are here to help us, so you will be doing this for us. So, and that's not true. This is your business. We are here to give you guidance, to be your coach, to be your mentor, to give you information, to give you resources, and to try to help you as much as we can for you to grow and to succeed. The time that you can spend with us is as many time as you need. So we work is like, for example, you come to us and let's talk about government contracting, and you tell me, okay, I want to sign up for government contracting. And I'm like, okay, because you're a woman, let's start with the women certification. Here is the link. This is where you're going to go, and it's going to ask you for all your paperwork. Have it ready, have it on your computer, hopefully, and then you can upload all the information they're asking for. Once you do that, let me know because they're going to give you a number, and with that number, we're going to sign up for RAMP and for all this. I can start giving you all the links right now so you can start working on it. We can meet again one week, 2 weeks. You tell me, oh, okay, I'll be ready in 2 weeks. 2 weeks pass by, you should already have done that. But if you come back to me and say, oh, I haven't done anything of what we talked about 2 weeks ago, then what I will say is like, okay, then last opportunity, because what I'm doing is I'm spending government money with you, knowing that there are also other people that I can have and do this advising with. So I need to move forward with that. So we will meet with you as many times as you want. When we are talking with you, we also say, okay, you need government contracting, but I also see that you will need finance and you need social media and marketing, and you need to look into this. So I'm going to refer you to so-and-so, so you can start working with this person on that area. But we are going to come back with us for this. So yes, you can work with multiple advisors in the different things that you need. We try not to give you three, four, five, because then it will be way too much and overwhelming for you. Because of course, all of us are passionate of whatever our core subject is. So we will start giving you things and homeworks and stuff, and you don't want that either. So we try to also be mindful on that, and we will say, okay, no, let's wait for Maria to just at least sign up for these sites to get the certifications, and once she's ready, then she can move forward with social media and marketing, because then she can start promoting that on her sites and all that. So we will wait until I refer you to the other advisors for that thing. But I do need you to start doing financial projections, because they're going to ask you for that. So then I will refer you to that financial expert, so you can start working on that parallel to this. So it depends on what it is, but yes, we will send you to different advisors, because we don't have, not all of us know everything, of course. So we do have those that are specialized in different topics.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And to your point, I've actually been in that situation where I ended up speaking to several different advisors, finance and marketing and just different ones. And there was so much to do, so much homework to do. It was almost like insane. I was literally, I felt like I was baking five cakes at the same time, and it was just really
Yeah.
smart. Going back to women in business, I'm a huge advocate for women entrepreneurs, and when you mentioned women's certification, that's actually the first certification that I got. If we can just briefly talk about the importance of women-owned certification and how there are so many government opportunities and even corporate opportunities. A lot of corporations have a quota that they need to hit by hiring minority, small and diverse women-owned businesses. Can you briefly touch upon that?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because these corporations and these entities, government entities and all that, they have a quota that they need to meet, and they're only guided to minority-owned businesses or women-owned businesses. So let's focus on women-owned businesses. What is a women-owned business? A women-owned business is that business that is registered and is managed 51% or more by a woman. Okay. And they have to be working 100% in their business. I have a lot of clients that says, I'm the owner of the business, but I have my son working on it or my husband working on it. That's not a women-owned business, even though 100% is under your name. The government is very, very clear and picky in that sense. They will really verify that you not only own the business, but you're working in the business. Okay. We have partnerships. So I have a husband and wife partners where they tell me we're 50-50. I'm like, in order for you to be women-owned, you have to have 51 and he has to have 49, 51 or more. Okay. So if she can have 99 and he 1%, that's fine, but it has to be 51 and 49 at least. And they have to change. They have to change their LLCs or their corporations to reflect that in order for them to get certified. So once you have 51% or more and you are working on your business, you can go through a process. The process is, depending on the website that we go, in order to get a certification, you will have to answer some questions. And one of them will be, are you 51% or more? Once you get that, you get a little ID or something that says you are certified as a women-owned business. And you start applying and you start going to all these websites. Each one of them will have a quota that they need to comply and to fulfill that goes to women-owned business. And if they have your business in the list and they see the profile that they are looking for and you have it, they will call you, or you will get a call, or you will get an email. And then email, you have to comply with some requirements. So there are different processes with this. Some of them have like meetings that you have to attend and paperwork that you have to send and all that, and is in a very short amount of time. So I one of the things, Maria, that I want people also to think about is we live in a very fast-paced world, and everything has to be done by yesterday. Okay. So whenever you get these emails, it's not that, oh, I'll work on it tomorrow or day after tomorrow. They have deadlines. Like, for example, if an RFP will come right now, a request for proposal will come today, it will be due on Monday or Tuesday. So if you're not looking at your emails, if you're not on top of these things, you will miss a lot of opportunities. If they send you an email because they want to bypass this process and because they can or something, and they come to you and say, okay, here is an email. Hey, Maria, we're re ready and we want to hire you for this. And you don't respond, you lose those. So you have to be very, very aware that when you want to do this, you have to be on top of your game. You have to be looking at your emails. You have to be checking your texts. You have to be like looking at this. And then they say what to comply. They say have to attend meetings. They ask you also for paperwork. They want to see if you comply with this. And then you have to propose to them and say, okay, for this job that you need for a month, this is how much I can give you, and this is how much I'm going to charge you. And they look at all those proposals and they say, okay, let's have these three rebid for us or repropose, or we are going to hire all three, 1 month this, 1 month this, 1 month this. We don't know. But one of the most important things, because we live in this fast-paced world, is you have to be on top of your game, looking at your emails, at your texts, and being like very, very thorough with those paperworks.
And speaking of being on top of your game, it's so crazy because when I first got certified and I got my first government contract, I remember not really saving all my documents while I was getting certified. It was my first time I started doing it. I just wanted to get it done. And it was like somewhere in my Google Drive, but not organized in a folder. And then I remember. And I thought, oh, next year I'll figure it out. Whatever, it's not a big deal. I'll find it. And the next year came, and just going through some of the same documents that you have to upload again to recertify, it was so annoying. I was so upset at myself for not being organized and not really having certain, folders and files that have all these documents that are going to be needed, not just for one certification, but multiple certifications. And then I'm experiencing the same thing with RFPs and proposals, where a lot of them ask for very similar information. There's usually capability statements, and they might ask, for resumes and things like that. And so now, years later, I realize that I have to be really organized with all the folders, so that when opportunities come, I don't dread responding to them because I don't have the documents and I have to waste an hour. Now it's 5 minutes max. I'm boom, 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 sending everything out and going along. So thank you for bringing that up because I think organization is one key thing as we get into this world because there's so many documents that are constantly needed over and over in so many various places. And if we don't have them organized, it just becomes complicated because you have to do that plus the job. It's just too much.
That's true. The sooner you start getting all those folders and files in place and wherever you can see it, the better. Because like you said, oh no, I'll do it tomorrow. The next one. And the next one I'll get organized. And like you said also, some of them are very repetitive. Because the majority of them will ask you for the same type of questions and documents. So the better you're organized with this, the better and the faster you can get like expediting in applying for all these things. One of the biggest things that you should have is your taxes, your tax returns and all that, the registration of your business. Like if you have a LLC or a corporation or even a fictitious business name, all those documents that are pertaining to your registration, you should have it in one place too. All your insurances also should have a folder. So whenever somebody asks you, can I see your insurance? Boom, you go to your insurance folder, you see the insurance folder there. But if you have it like all over the place, like documents here, documents there, that we know we have seen those, it's hard. Even nowadays, if you have your pictures and your videos also in different folders, categorized some way that can show your products and your services and the job that you have done, that will be so much perfect also and so much faster because you can just refer them there and go. So it's very important to do that. The other thing, Maria, that we have not talked about, your website. I think a lot of our businesses also are failing on that. As a small business owner, when you want to do government contract, you do have to have a website. It does talk, it's kind of like your other resume for them to see your job there, your work there. So you do have to have a website plus the social media. So there are a lot of things, and that's why we are here for. So
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much. Wow, this is such great information, Claudia. I really wish we had more time because there's so many more questions I wanted to ask, but perhaps you can come back again. But can you just remind our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they're interested in working with the Centro SBDC and to connect you directly? How would they get a hold of you?
Perfect. So for the Small Business Development Centers in LA County, you can call 866-588-7232. 866-588-7232. That's for the SBDCs in LA County. And for the one that speaks Spanish is 800-794-1402. If you are not in LA County, sorry, and you're in other areas, because I know your program is heard across. So if you're in other areas or in other parts, you can go to the sba.gov, sba.gov, and you can look for the local assistance. And when you put your zip code, you can see all the different free resources that there are available in your zip code. Okay. So LA County, you have us as the SBDCs here. You can call us at any time. Leave a message, please, because most of the time we are not going to answer because we're going to be with a client or doing something. So we're not going to answer, but we do call back when you leave a message.
Amazing. And we'll have these phone numbers and the website in our show notes as well for the listeners to access. Thank you so much, Claudia. I appreciate your time so much. And I'm sure my listeners appreciate all the valuable information you shared with us.
No, it was such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for this, Maria. Whenever you need something, whenever you want something, I'm happy to help and assist.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.